Okay, I'd like to call the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting to order. Denise, will you take the role?
Committee Chair Peterson?
Here.
Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Director Banks?
Telephonically.
We need to take a motion to confirm that Director Banks can participate via teleconference.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item number three, public comment. Do we have anybody from the public that wants to make any comment today? Okay, there being none, we'll go to item number four. Directors, approval of the minutes of the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting held on December 15th, 2011. Any questions or comments?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Item number two, review proposed, oh, actually.
If I could just take a moment and introduce somebody new. Lieutenant Gutierrez has joined us. He's going to be the new head of our state police unit that's headquartered here. He's replacing John Jesternick, who, as you remember from the great festivities board meeting, retired at the end of last year. So I'd like to welcome the lieutenant, and thank you very much for your service, and we're looking forward to working with you.
Great, thank you.
Welcome aboard, thank you.
And it's typical, the directors usually grill the state head of the state police during all board meetings. So.
Oh, great. Very excited about that. Thank you. That's something to look forward to.
And
that's
fellow
right.
Welcome aboard. Thank you. Item number two, review proposed FAO committee work plan. Mike, do you want to walk us through that, or Christy, or Christy, you're going to introduce it?
Well, what we've done here is that for each of the committees, we've tried to create a work plan to set some expectations of the different topics that we're going to deal with over the coming year. This committee, as the other, same as the other committees of the board, you know, there's often overlap in what the committees can deal with. So I think what we've proposed here is a work plan that does, at some points, require some joint committee work, since one of the other committees of the board, particularly the Strategic Planning Committee, is going to has also taken some of these items in its work plan, but I think that can only benefit us. And what we're hoping to do is to walk through it, give some sense of decision-making time frame, when we would hope that decisions on these various topics would be made. And of course, if you have any feedback on additional items that you'd like to see in the work plan, or you know, what any of these general broad categories entail, or of course, if you think that there's a reason to be to have a different time frame for any of these, of course, that we can discuss all of these. But this gives us, I think, a good sense of what we're going to be dealing with over the next year. The other thing that we would propose is, because this is really the main working committee of the board that has a lot of substantive, you know, contract approvals and other things that need to happen every month, we would propose that these strategic, bigger picture issues are maybe taken up every other month, just to make sure that we have plenty of time between meetings to prepare the materials and get the feedback, but also, you know, frankly, just having the right space so that we can have substantive conversation on these various items. So without further ado, Mike Stone has done a lot of work on this, and I'm going to let him walk us through it.
Thank you, Christy. Morning, directors. As Christy said, we've put together a work plan. This is the work of the Finance and Administration Operations and Diversity Departments. It's similar in format to what the other committees have done, in that the first couple of pages are a brief summary indicating the individual topics and our expected time frames for considering those topics, and the beginning on the third page we have some more detailed descriptions of the types of issues that we expect to cover under each of these topics, though it's not meant to be inclusive at all. It's more of a starting point. So the first couple of issues that we have in the 1 to 6 month time frame, and I will say I think we also contemplate in some instances that these topics might be on the left side of a of that time frame earlier rather than sooner in the time frame. Consideration, one of the issues in no particular order is our cash handling procedures and considering what those procedures are in terms of our best practices out there as well as our current system vulnerabilities and discussing ways in which we can improve our current system. Second two items are somewhat related, contractor vendor diversity as well as workforce recruitment diversity. Considering all those issues related to keeping with the goals of this board regarding ways to advance diversity in those areas and really re-examining our current programs, ways in which they work, ways in which they can be improved, some ideas out there that may be considered, such as exploring ways to extend the Mentor Protege program to construction or a greater technical assistance program, and also strategies for unbundling and workforce diversity, and reviewing those action plans that we have currently have adopted, and just getting a better understanding of what our statistics are, as well as evaluating our current tools that we use for outreach and recruiting.
And this, the contractor vendor diversity in particular is one the Strategic Planning Committee also has on its work plan. So I think that the format of meeting every other month allows us to maybe have a joint committee meeting on that topic rather than taking it up separately in two committees, which I don't think makes maybe as much sense as just, you know, creating the overlap to take it up jointly at, you know, in one or two meetings at the
Somewhat related, and but on a more general sense, is a look at our hiring process. Those issues surrounding TAN and ways that we have adopted to protect our ourselves regarding RUTAN. RUTAN is that is a Supreme Court case that covers how we hire those positions that are non-policy, non-confidential. Positions that are meant to be more of a structured hiring process as opposed to those positions which are exempt from RUTAN, which is a less structured process. Reviewing what we've done to ensure that we comply with those processes, as well as ways in which we can improve our process to make it more efficient and more timely, whether that's electronic or other means to make sure that we are operating efficiently. Also related to efficiency and what we are doing to improve the timing of efforts are our procurement issues. We're currently working on streamlining efforts to ensure that we can readily procure the items that we need, as well as addressing issues such as comments that we've heard from this board and the previous board regarding whether or not they should be spending as much time on routine commodities and approvals of such items. I think this is one instance also where we've got it in the 6 to 12 month time frame, but we'll probably be on the left side of that time frame, addressing issues as soon as we can. In the area of financial reporting and capital financing and debt management, making sure that this board has the information that it needs as we start the Move Illinois program in the format that they would like to see, as well as addressing some of the nagging issues that we have out there with respect to underwriting and financial advisory services, as well as making sure that we are monitoring and restructuring our synthetic fixed rate portfolio and adopting appropriate debt management guidelines.
And this is another one that some elements of this actually may need to be taken up sooner, because we will be issuing, you know, our current plan is to issue bonds, you know, maybe second quarter of this year. So, you know, clearly, you know, some elements of, you know, how much debt we're issuing to pay for the program and when and the timing. We want to make sure the committee's comfortable with our proposal or has weighed in to, you know, obviously add whatever thoughts you have on our capital, on our debt issuance. So, sorry.
A couple of specific issues that that we've heard or been asked to address are the operating reserve, and what is the appropriate level for that reserve, and what decision-making goes into establishing that reserve. Similarly, insurance in our selection of how we acquire insurance and those decisions that go into acquisition of that insurance also be considered there. Finally, a much broader issue, the numerous decisions that go into the acquisition of an enterprise resource planning system, or an ERP, which would be our financial integration of different systems so that we can probably acquire and present data and information in a timely and reasonable basis. I believe that is it. Are there any questions or things that we wanted to add
to this? I know we reviewed the other day, there were a couple items that were added. I saw at the end there. If committee members want to discuss or add additional actions or key decisions, they contact you directly then, you have that input?
I can certainly keep a running list. I think it's up to the directors what they, okay, what they want to add.
They should work with it. We typically try to run board communication through Trinise, okay, so that it's all, you know, in one place and people can, you know, we can make sure to keep track that people are getting answers to questions or what have you. But of course, you can always, you know, people need to reach out to any of us individually.
Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
I just had one question. Do you have hard deadlines on resolving issues on any of these things, like the capital financing and debt management? You said the second quarter. Do you feel as if this needs to be done before you go into the market, or is this?
Well, as I mentioned, I think that there's that one element of, you know, making sure that this committee, you know, I know with the previous board we walked through this, but making sure the members of this committee are, you know, understand the schedule that we're proposing and are either comfortable with it, or, you know, we might have to take up issues around, you know, the interest rates are very good right now. Is there more debt that's issued now while we know and have confidence that interest rates are good versus in the out years when we had scheduled debt? So those types of issues we will have to take up, I think, within the first 6 months of the year. But the larger issues around, you know, reporting and if people, you know, feedback on how we're reporting on Move Illinois and the capital program and just generally our financial reporting, which we always want to make sure people are comfortable with the format, or if they need more information, you know, fixing out some of the additional synthetic debt that we have, or synthetic fixed rate debt that we have, we decide to, those can be, you know, some longer term questions, but really there probably should be two X's there, because there is that one component that does probably require, you know, something a little sooner.
And on something like the procurement process, I assume we're going to just keep going with procurement. And
I think this would be a more comprehensive change. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that we're streamlining things, bringing things to the board sooner, or setting different parameters for what comes to the board, you know, we're still doing kind of a baseline evaluation of how long the process for different types of procurements, how long it takes. Mm-hmm. There's been a significant amount of time added with some of the procurement reform that that has happened in the last couple of years, additional disclosures and other documentation that is adding a lot of time. I know we hear a lot about the Board of Election Certificate being a problem for companies that don't submit it and end up getting disqualified for bidding. So, you know, kind of taking a step back and looking if there are ways for us to streamline the process that the board is comfortable with. These would, I think, largely be items that the board is going to have to change some policy or make some decision, because, of course, we could do our own streamlining with, you know, some of the more, you know, mundane parts of the process, but this is a little bit more strategic for me.
Any other questions? Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Kristen. All right, let's move to finance five. Item number five, number one, approval of the retiree health insurance payments. CMS.
Thank you. Good morning, directors. Finance has three items for the committee this morning. First item is approval of the retiree health insurance payment to Central Management Services for the most recently completed calendar year, 2011. Retirees of the tollway are eligible for health benefits through programs administered by the Department of Central Management Services of the state of Illinois. Pursuant to state statute, the tollway is obligated to reimburse the state annually for a pro rata share of the state costs for those benefits based on the service time the employee had with the Illinois tollway. On a monthly basis, the tollway receives a listing of all the enrollees that receive those benefits through the state employees retirement system. The tollway receives this information on a report, adds the actual service time with the tollway for the new enrollee, for new enrollees, and when the premium is reviewed and approved, checked by Central Management Services. Today we are requesting approval for payment of the contribution for 2011. These amounts have already been expensed in the 2011 budget and fall within the group health insurance line included in the finance department's budget. In addition to tollway retirees, there are enrollees of the state police, District 15, who have served time with the tollway, District 15. The total contribution for 2011 would be $4,896,962.13 for 921 enrollees, which are eligible for the program, plus dependents that are covered in that program. Finance recommends approval for this item to be placed on the board's consent agenda.
How does CMS come up with the premiums, or how do they do the come up with that estimate on what we pay them on a quarterly or annually basis based on employees?
My understanding is the Department of Central Management Services produces total premium amounts for each different category of coverage, the HMO coverage, the quality care or fee-for-service coverage, and different coverages, different premiums for Medicare eligible, non-Medicare eligible, as well as dependent coverage, and dependent coverage that's Medicare, dependent coverage that's not Medicare, and different categories of employee only, employee plus one dependent, employee plus two dependents. And there's a matrix of premiums that is intended to reflect the cost of providing coverage in total as a group insurance program to those retirees. Okay. And then the state, that particular premium matrix is applied to each of the retirees given their particular circumstance, and then the tollway pays the pro rata portion that they served at the tollway.
Just the time they served at the tollway?
Just the time they served at the tollway.
Okay. So is it 8 years you're vested, 20 years, at 20 years you have 100% payment on the health?
So if you're a state employee and you have 8 years, yes, you're vested. And you would be required to pay, at 8 years, 60% of the state cost of the premium, plus the employee portion of the premium. Employees, excuse me, not the employee, the retiree portion of the premium. If you have, each year that you have another year of service, so 9, 10, you pay essentially, the number of years of service that you're short of 20 years, you pay 5%. So once you get to 20 years, as a retiree, you would pay zero for your own coverage, but you would still be required to pay a premium for your dependents that you have.
We have 921 enrollees.
921 enrollees.
Any other questions? Do you want to take this item and vote on it, or go to the next two items? Any thoughts on that, or want to vote on it independently?
To the chair.
Okay, so keep going then.
Second item is award of a contract with RSUI Indemnity Company and Chubb Insurance Company through Mesero Insurance Services for the property insurance program for a combined annual premium of $746,114. The property insurance policies for the tollway expire on February 28th of 2012. The tollway issued an RFP seeking competitive proposals in late 2011 to replace that expiring policy. Due to the specialized nature of the coverage that the tollway has with respect to covering bridges and the limited, we have received limited interest in the marketplace with respect to the number of quotes that we receive. For this RFP, two proposals were received. One proposal was deemed non-responsive as it was missing the Board of Elections form. The property insurance protection includes blanket insurance coverage for the tollway, which means and includes coverage for the central administration facility, the contents of the central administration building, and EDP equipment. The blanket insurance program, which is the program provided by RSUI Indemnity, provides replacement cost coverage for all bridges, buildings, and facilities of the tollway, subject to a retention or deductible of $1 million per loss or occurrence. This does not include assets valued less than the deductible level and does not include the roadway itself.
Is that deductible, the $1 million deductible, the right amount? And as far as in the last year, good news, bad news, I think you had mentioned before, we haven't had to exercise or use this property insurance program
recently. We have not. We have not utilized this policy, either because the amounts fell below the deductible level or because we were able to get the coverage from other carriers for accidents that occurred as a result of another party.
This is one that I would imagine when we get to that topic on insurance, clearly, if we would have had both, we would have had two companies bidding on this, obviously with the Board of Elections certificate, one was eliminated. I think one thing we can talk about generally with insurance, whether it be the property insurance or any other coverage, is there a way for us to structure the proposal to encourage more competition, maybe a pool of brokers, whatever the is there a better way of doing this? I mean, we think we're getting, and we've done some analysis, we're getting very effective and good rates relative to other toll agencies around the country, for sure. But we think that this would be one area fair to say, Mike, or something.
Yeah, that's fair to say. While we have received limited number of bids, the proposal that we have received, we believe is very favorable, aggressive, relative to the research we've done with respect to coverages at other tollways across the country. One example, Pennsylvania has a premium of about $1.4 million, and they have about $2.8 billion of total insured value. The tollway has more than $4 billion of total insured value at a premium of $746,000. There are differences in the deductibles and so forth, but that difference in premium is more than what that difference in deductible would warrant. New Jersey has a higher deductible, I believe, and has a premium of more than $3 million for their property insurance program. Part of the reason we believe we have such aggressive quotes on this program is because we haven't had losses. And I think that's reflected in the news.
Mike, how does the premium this year compare to prior years?
The premium increases, I believe, about 9%. The premium is increasing not as a result of an increase in the rate, but rather an increase in the total insured value. The cost per $1,000 of coverage remains the same.
We just got more.
And that's primarily because we have more revenue in it. This also covers loss of revenue, business interruption insurance. So it's expected we have more revenue this year.
And does that sort of sync up the 9%?
It does.
Well, there'll be a 9% differential in the revenue or more.
The revenue increases a larger percentage than that, but the revenue represents most of the increase in the total insured value. There is some increase in insured value for the assets themselves because of increasing replacement costs. It does provide coverages for earthquake and flood. Those coverages are $100 million annual aggregate. The blanket insurance program generally provides coverage for other coverages for the assets of up to $200 million per occurrence. As I mentioned, with the change in total insured value, the annual premium will be increased by $60,197 for the blanket insurance coverage to $694,801. And for the policy for coverage for the central administration, the premium would be $51,313. Another bit of analysis that we did is we did look back at the premiums that we've paid since 2005. The premiums have increased since 2005. Insured value has increased 66%. Premium has increased 18% since 2005. Again, there was a change in the deductible from $500,000 to $1 million, but that would not represent that large of a difference in the insured value.
When was that change, the deductible?
We went up to $2 million at one point, didn't we?
No, we've always been, for years we were at $500,000.
Okay.
And then a few years ago,
we went to a million.
It was about 3 years ago. Because the underwriter made it worth our time.
Okay.
So, Finance Department recommends acceptance of the proposal of RSUI indemnity for the blanket property coverage premium. Again, $694,801. And the proposal for from Chubb Insurance Group for the Central Administration and EDP, a premium of $51,313. These proposals were submitted through the insurance broker Mesero Insurance Services, working with their BDP partner Insurers Review Services. It should be one final note, the resolution that we present for the board would allow for adjustments in the premium based upon an increase in total insured value if there was a new asset that would come on during the calendar year, but that rarely happens.
Hard to imagine. And just so I understand that the
diversity, the BEP, is on the commission for the brokers.
Yeah, the brokerage commissions total about 15% of the total total premium amount, the total amount listed there, and I think the BEP participation is 20%.
So it's 20% of 15% of 1046.
Right.
And the award amount of $746,000, you're allocating it all to the 2012 budget, and you say that obviously there's money available, and I see that it's available, but what's the comment that the remainder will be requested in the 2013 budget? What part of, why is that in there?
There's actually the 2012 budget will expense 2 months.
So 2 months of the 2013 will go into the 2013 budget?
2 months of the past.
So, so the whole 746 will not stay in the 2012 budget?
No.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Renewal bond trustee services agreement.
Okay, and the third item is an increase in the initial term compensation limit with Bank of New York Mellon for bond trustee services and a renewal for 1 year. Effective May 1, 2007, Tolway entered into an agreement pursuant to an RFP with the Bank of New York Trust Company to provide trustee services. The RFP provided for 5 annual renewal options. We are coming to the end of the initial term. The trustee's primary responsibilities are to serve as a fiduciary to the holders of the tollway's $4 billion of bonds and to enforce on behalf of the bondholders the terms and provisions of the indenture and the pledge and the lien established under the trust indenture. The trustee will provide and maintain and administer all accounts and subaccounts held under the indenture, including the debt service accounts, debt reserve accounts, and construction accounts. They will serve as the depository and paying agent for tollway bonds. They currently maintain 65 accounts and subaccounts in connection with these responsibilities, and they're responsible for funds ranging from between $320 million to $480 million during the course of the year. Finance is requesting 2 actions related to the current trustee service agreement. The first is to increase the board's compensation limit for the initial 5-year term, which expires April 30th, by $8,000. The current limit is $110,000. We would like authorization for up to $118,000 during that first term. The tollway has restructured a number of bond series, which wasn't anticipated at the time that we initially entered into this agreement. And this increase would also allow, if we were to get to that point, to issue 1 more series of bonds before April 30th. The second part of the request is a renewal of the agreement for a 1-year period from May 1, 2012 through April 30th, 2013 at an estimated cost of $37,000. It is customary for tax-exempt bond trustees to remain constant over the life of the bonds, or at least for extended period of time, given the trustee is a fiduciary and serves as a fiduciary role to the bondholders. The authority is satisfied, we have been satisfied with the level of service received by Bank of New York. Replacing the trustee is a difficult process. There are 17 series, and actually replacement of the trustee would require approval by bondholders, or at least the bondholders would have the ability to object to removal of the trustee. So for those reasons, Bank of New York is a leading bond trustee. I think they have the largest number of bond issues, as well as the largest number of municipal bonds under trust service agreements. We think they're doing an exceptional job, and we would recommend that this contract be renewed for a period of 1 year at a cost of $37,000.
I know the market's shrinking, and there's only the few that are providing the services now. Is the Bank of New York Mellon Trust Company in good financial state?
They are. I don't have their rating in front of me, but now they're, okay. They're not a bank under distress.
Okay. Something you said I'm confused by, that you want to continue with the same trustee with the series, but then could we change trustees if we issue a new series and then you have more than one trustee, or are we locked into this?
We need to have one trustee for all of the series that have the same, that are under the same master agreement, same master trust agreement. So it's likely that any additional bonds that we issue would be under that same master trust indenture, and therefore we would want to have one trustee, not multiple.
And maybe I misheard,